Now, what can sparkles in the sun's atmosphere tell us about how it generates heat? Professor Robert Walsh from the University of Central Lancashire presented results earlier today from the Hi-See camera, which has been launched aboard a sounding rocket from New Mexico. I caught up with him and asked him how the camera worked.
Well, we've been working with the NASA Marshall Space Flight Center and also the Harvard-Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics in order to create an instrument for a sounding rocket. This instrument was the High-Resolution Coronal Imager, or Hi-C for short. And we worked with NASA. We provided the camera electronic box, where they provided the detectors and the actual optics of what's going on, with the overall aim of producing an instrument which could observe the sun in extreme ultraviolet light at the highest resolution that we'd ever seen and ever done possible. And we launched this on a sounding rocket from the New Mexico Desert in July of last year and managed to capture just less than 5 minutes worth of data. But as our results are showing, and particularly with what we're talking about today, it's an incredibly rich data set. And we're finding that the observations that we have taken really are stretching our understanding of the solar corona, and in particular the small scales that we actually see here. So this was only a rocket. It only flew for a very short period of time, but the data set has been very good indeed.
I guess I find it slightly surprising that you're using a rocket, given the number of spacecraft. I'm thinking of SOHO and STEREO and the Solar Dynamics Observatory. What can you get from using a rocket instead?
Well, part of the reason for using this rocket was a technology demonstrator for the instrument itself. Whenever you're going to put an instrument on a satellite, it's good for you to test maybe the different types of optics and what you're trying to do on a sounding rocket program, which is much cheaper. And also it allows you to be maybe a bit more adventurous than sticking something on a satellite, which costs hundreds of millions of pounds. So we were doing this both as a technology demonstrator, but also we really wanted to push the science. And fortunately enough, in this particular case, we managed to be able to do both. The instrument worked exceptionally well, and the data came back, and that's incredibly detailed and excellent, really. And since then, we've been able to exploit that so much. And we are looking to see if we can actually take this Hi-C instrument and then place it on a satellite in the future.
So how have you managed to get those higher resolution images? Is it just a better camera that you're using?
Yeah, it's a mixture of things. The optics were a lot better than we've ever done before. We're actually using the same detector that we have on the Solar Dynamics Observatory, managed to get one of those. But it was the layout of what was actually happening, the pixel resolution we actually chose, and also the degree of sensitivity of the instrumentation meant that we could actually get an image which was five times better than we have with the Solar Dynamics Observatory. And with a time scale, a cadence, how rapidly you take the images, to be about three or four times better as well. But of course, the Solar Dynamics Observatory runs 24 hours a day, taking images of IMAX quality every 10 seconds over a range of wavelengths. We had one wavelength, we had about 2 to 3 minutes, but in the 2 to 3 minutes we've seen some very, very special things.
And why is the surface of the sun such an interesting place?
Well, of course, we're trying to understand our sun-earth connection. And in particular, for what we saw and what we've been talking about, is the intricate details of the electrified gases interacting with the sun's magnetic field, which produce all the interesting things we see on the surface of the sun. In this particular case, we were able to go down to a resolution of seeing the finest threads and some of the greatest detail in interactions between the plasma and the magnetic field. We need to understand that in order to try and understand, for example, these large eruptions which come out from the sun. We can see them on a very large scale, but it's at this very, very smaller scales that the trigger mechanism is likely taking place. And therefore, we're trying to push the resolution to get down to those levels and understand why and when those triggers could take place.
So you've seen these features that you've called sparkles, I think, in the surface of the sun. What are you going to then go on to do with those observations to try and understand them?
Well, these sparkles, as we've termed them, are literally small. At the smallest scale, even for our instrumentation, to pick up a seemingly energy release within the atmosphere of the star. And we've never really seen these before. On the Solar Dynamics Observatory, if we look at corresponding images to the images that we've taken, it looks like noise. It looks like they aren't really there. It's simply an image artifact. But actually, when you compare it to what we've seen with Hi-C, they really are physical features. And if this energy is being released on those scales in the atmosphere in that way, then that may help us to understand one of the greatest mysteries that we have around solar physics at this moment in time, and that's the coronal heating problem. How does the outer atmosphere of the sun reach temperatures of millions of degrees when the surface of the sun is thousands of degrees? And we believe it's due to the magnetic field releasing energy into the outer atmosphere, and we've never really seen some of the theoretical aspects of that before. Actually, now with high C, we have. And in particular, trying to understand the braiding of magnetic fields around each other and these solar sparkles, small-scale energy release, which, you know, over about 25, 30 seconds releases as much energy as the UK consumes in an entire year. And if we add all that up, then that's a tremendous amount of energy to actually pump into the outer atmosphere of the star and hence potentially solve the coronal heating problem.
The sun's surface has these events we call coronal mass ejections, which I guess are very interesting for us because they're huge eruptions of gas into the solar system, and when those collide with their own planet, they cause electrical storms. Are these sparkles helping us to understand the origin of these coronal mass ejections?
Well, in some respects, yes, because it gives us an idea of what the magnetic complexity is of the outer atmosphere. One of the other observations that we did see are these solar, what we've termed solar highways. They really are fine threads of material travelling at 80 kilometres a second, cool plasma within these filaments, the areas that give these eruptions. And if we understand the sort of the internal workings of these sort of filaments and prominences which produce these solar storms you're talking about, then maybe you can understand why they erupt and what's the mechanism that suddenly switches them on that they move outwards and expand out into interplanetary space. It's a bit like trying to look at your watch. You know a watch actually works. You can see the time. You know it's working inside. You wind it up. With these solar filaments, you know, we see them erupting, we know what's actually going on, but we don't know the internal mechanism. So, but like you looking inside your watch and seeing the cogs and bits and pieces and that, looking inside the filament with the resolution we now have and seeing these solar highways and sparkles related to that gives us an idea of the intricate internal mechanisms of what was going on and hence being able to understand how they work.
So why is the sun such a very difficult object to understand? Because it's a ball of gas, we think there's fusion happening at its core. In many ways, it sounds a lot simpler than, say, a planet like the Earth.
Well, you would think that. Whenever we glance up at the sun, you'll never look directly at the sun, you'll damage your eyes. But whenever you glance up at the sun, you think it's just a smooth, featureless ball in the sky. And okay, it provides all the light and heat and energy that we require for life on Earth. But whenever we look at it at the wavelengths of light we're looking at across the electromagnetic spectrum, and we're going to extreme ultraviolet here, then you see a complexity that is really quite outstanding. And in particular, the interplay between the magnetic field and the electrified gases is really something quite special. And at the moment, this huge, big plasma laboratory that we have out there is really challenging our understanding of what's going on, both in regard to the size and the scale of what's actually happening, but also the intricate interplay between what's happening in the electrified gases and the magnetic field, generating the motions and dynamic structure that we actually see. So sometimes you may think the sun is very simple. It is an ordinary star, of course, but when you look at that sort of detail, it really is quite extraordinary.
My thanks to Professor Robert Walsh from the University of Central Lancashire.